police officer, a pleb, during a row at the gates of Downing Street in 2012. The Prime Minister says everyone should behave respectfully towards the police.
On the issue of Andrew Mitchell, I mean, let me be clear, you know, it is never right to be abusive or rude to a police officer. I think that's extremely important. But look, we've had a court case now. That's how we do things in this country. The judge has made very clear his verdict, and I think everyone should accept that verdict and move on.
A man's been taken to hospital after being shot at a hairdresser's in Birmingham today. It happened on Somerville Road in Small Heath just after 10 this morning. The man in his 40s was taken to hospital with a leg injury. He's in a stable condition and police are appealing for witnesses. Now, West Midlands Police say they're giving special training to 1,200 frontline officers so they can spot the signs of grooming and trafficking. It's after a woman told BBC WM that she'd been trafficked across the region and forced to have sex with more than 200 men. Tom Chisholm is the force's anti-trafficking lead and he says it can be a difficult crime to investigate.
It's a hidden crime. Sometimes quite difficult for victims to come forward and approach the police, and that's for a number of reasons, really. It might be fear from the, you know, those that are abusing them. It might be a mistrust of the police. So what we tend to do is we work heavily with partners across the region, and we have a regional anti-trafficking group that comprises a lot of charities and people who are our eyes and ears, really.
After just 4 months as assistant manager, Roy Keane has left Aston Villa today. The 43-year-old says he isn't able to commit to the job at the same time as performing similar duties for the Republic of Ireland. And doctors treating the Brazilian football legend Pelé have said his condition is improving. The three-time World Cup winner had been moved to a special care unit after undergoing treatment for a urine infection. A statement released by the Albert Einstein Hospital in Sao Paulo said Pelé was receiving dialysis and was lucid. And the weather, cloudy today, a bit brighter than yesterday and improving as the day goes on. Highs of 12 Celsius, 54 Fahrenheit. Dry but misty overnight with lows of 6 Celsius, 43 Fahrenheit. Saturday, tomorrow, starting cloudy but sunny spells developing with highs of 13 Celsius, 55 Fahrenheit. BBC WM 95.6 News. There's more online at bbc.co.uk/WM.
Ian Lee.
BBC WM
95.6.
Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. Thank you, Caroline. Thank you, Chris. That was naughty, naughty, naughty of me. So, hey, guess what, suckers? If you've been in a shop this morning or today or you're planning to or you've been online, you're a sucker. It's all nonsense. They've made this day up. Why? So that you go and buy and spend your money on TVs that you don't even want. There was some fella on the telly. He's going, oh, yeah, I've saved 200 quid on a telly. But the brand he was holding, I'd never heard of this brand. It was like a market-owned brand. If you're out shopping today, shame on you. It's all puff, bluster, smoke, hype and indeed mirrors. 03453 00956. Afternoon, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6.
Ian Lee.
Call 03453 00956.
BBC WM 95.6.
Afternoon, Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. Producer Joe is out there. The way this show works is I will talk about stuff. You can call up and talk about that stuff, or you can call up and talk about other stuff if you want. The Black Friday, I don't want to bang on about it too much, which means I will probably bang on about it too much. You know it's all a load of old bullshine. It's nonsense. Bullshine. Nonsense. Rubbish. It's made up. It's another Americanism that we don't need. None of you have actually got real bargains. Look at those boxes you're clutching in your hands. It's just dust and snakes. That's all you've got. There is nothing of import or worth in your house that wasn't there this morning. You didn't need that telly. That coffee maker hasn't been reduced by that much. It was that price a month ago. Well, it got me really angry. And what has got me angrier is the fact that I'm now promoting Black Friday by talking about Cack Friday, more like. 03453 00956. Come on, guys. I thought you were sensible here at WM 95.6. I thought you were cleverer than those plums in London, or those fools in Manchester, or those scallies in Liverpool. You guys know what's going on. You're real people. And yet, it turns out you've been suckered into it as well. I drove in today. It's not as busy as we're being led to believe. I managed to drive into the mailbox. It took me a few minutes extra. I found a parking space immediately. So come on. For goodness sakes, we're British. We're British. We don't need this tosh. 03453 009956 is the telephone number. If you wish to give us a call, you'll be more than welcome to. I want to talk as well in a little bit about the mum that left her six kids to go to... So the mum says to the eldest kid, 14, six kids, all right, Dwayne, just pop into the shops. I'll be back in an hour. She gets on an aeroplane and flies to Australia to meet a man she's just met on the internet. Is it bad that I'm judging her because she's got six kids? I'm going to say something really snobbish. I wonder how many dads there are. I know. Isn't that an awful thing to say? Where have you been left as a kid? 03453 009956. Jarvis is on the line. Good afternoon, Jarvis.
Afternoon, Ian.
Yes, hello.
Hi. Black Friday.
Yeah, rubbish, isn't it?
Well, what I was saying, I'm not sure it'd be true. I've been told the origin of Black Friday goes back to the end of slavery during slavery, where coming just after Thanksgiving, those slave masters who had separate slaves would sell them on to those who didn't have to get them through the winter.
I don't know who told you that, Jarvis, but they're lying. It's not true. I know exactly where. I know exactly because I've researched this. I know exactly where Black Friday comes from.
Oh, okay, like I said, that's what I was. I don't know if it's true. That's what I've been told. So I don't know. The lady who went off before.
Yes.
And leave her kids behind.
Yes.
That's a sign. That's massive desperation, isn't it?
Is it not? It could be construed. Now listen, it could be construed as a romantic gesture.
No. If you've got kids.
Yes.
And you're gonna leave them behind for a stranger.
Yeah.
That's desperation. Even if he's going to pay for you, let him pay for the kids or come and visit you with your kids.
The eldest was 14?
Well, let's say if she's got six kids and the eldest is 14, that means the youngest is going to be about six.
How have you worked that out?
Right?
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Jarvis. It doesn't come from slavery. I looked into this Black Friday. Who knows where it comes from? Anyone? Kathy, do you know where it comes from, the term Black Friday?
Yes, all the traffic in America, they called it Black Day because nobody could get to the shops.
Boom shakalak, I said a boom shakalak. Kathy got it right. I said a boom.
Oh, have I?
You got it right, Kathy. It was 90, but people think it means businesses going into the black, i.e. making some money. That was introduced in the 1980s. 1966, Philadelphia, the shopping day after Thanksgiving was always really busy, so the police started calling it Black Friday to try and dissuade people from coming out and going shopping.
Well, can I give a high five to me?
Yeah, go on then.
High five.
High five, Kathy. And we'll be giving out more high fives later on throughout the show. It's a load of old nonsense, isn't it, Kath?
Absolutely. Black Friday today, I was looking on the news this morning. I think it was in Manchester, I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
And there was a scramble when the doors opened. Now, this is the mentality of these people. The guy, but he was more happy that he got £70 off a TV and he's lost a pair of trainers at 120-odd quid.
What? What do you mean he he didn't get them?
No. As he scrambled through the door, visualise it.
Yes, I'm visualising.
One of his trainers come off.
What? How does a trainer just fall off?
With all the scrambling.
Oh, yeah.
Going over everybody.
Yeah.
Obviously, somebody's tread on the back of his heel and he's lost a trainer.
All right.
He's more than happy to have £70 off a TV, but he's lost a trainer, which is... But 120 quid, maybe?
What an absolute plummage, isn't it?
Yeah. The mentality of it.
I'm not convinced. Now, we'll be saying in the news, I'm not convinced that there are all these fights and all these accidents and incidents. I reckon there are about three shops around... If I'm wrong, prove me wrong. But I reckon there are probably about three shops throughout the whole country where it's got a little bit busy, partly because there are so many camera crews stood inside the shop... But most of it is just, you know, there's not argy-bargy going on. It's a myth.
Well, I've just gone past one stop and the traffic's horrendous. But I don't know what they're thinking.
Kathy, what do you think about this mum? She's got six kids. She left a 14-year-old in charge so she could go off and see a lover in Australia.
What did that last guy say?
Do you know, if I'm honest, I wasn't really listening to Jarvis.
Well, he sort of like, I don't know what he said, but I thought, what? Stupidity.
I think he said it was a romantic gesture.
What?
No, hang on, that was me that said that. Sorry, Jarvis, yes. I said it could be perceived as a romantic gesture.
No, how? Your love comes to your children first before
but she
any stranger.
She met that guy on the internet, Kathy. They may have even had a phone conversation together. That's love.
Stupidity.
Kathy, thank you very much indeed. 03453-009956. Start the show properly in a bit. We've not touched anything we were going to talk about. Cats and dogs. But so far we've been distracted by, and we're kind of falling for it, we've been distracted by the myth that is Black Friday. It doesn't exist. It's not real. It's nonsense. Super Tuesday. What? Super Tuesday. You've got to go to the shops. It's super... Okay. What are you selling? The usual stuff we sell. Really? I'm coming down now. Got to be quick. Because it's only lasts for a day. And then it's back to normal. It's a load of bunkum, Ranj. Just like your phone calls are.
Hi, mate. You
very,
right?
Very, very poor phone call last week, Ranjit.
It was.
So close to... I had a meeting with producer Joe and the management team here at BBC WM 95.6 after your phone call last week. Very close to getting a lifetime ban, Ranj, unless you up your game.
I don't have to...
Yellow card.
You know what? Your audience tells you how good I am.
Well, hang on a second. Let's ask my audience. Bob?
There you
Hello?
Are.
Bob, yeah. Bob, I may be asking getting the wrong person's opinion. Bob, do you think Ranj is a good caller, an okay caller, or a rubbish caller?
It's okay.
Oh, only okay, Ranj?
Yeah. Can I just make a couple of points, please, Ian?
Well, I was...
Call me old-fashioned if you want.
Or rude.
Call me old-fashioned,
I was talking to Ranjit.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Range.
Yeah.
You can wait for Bob, can't you?
I can wait for Bob here.
Cheers, Range.
Bob will show you how to do an excellent phone call to a phone-in show, okay?
Go on.
You got a pen and paper, Range?
I have.
Good lad. Okay, Bob, show him what to do.
Right. All I want people to, as I say, I might be old-fashioned.
Yes.
But I'm on about this lady who left six children.
Yep.
She
left six children. Let's put this in context. She left six children. Hello?
Six children with a 14-year-old.
Yes, in charge.
Which, in my eyes, is too young to look after five younger children.
Ah.
Plus, she told lies about where she was going. She got a suspended prison sentence.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to get a bit of grief for this.
Yeah.
But that lady should have been sent to prison.
Now, Bob,
for neglect.
Bob.
Also, quick Bob. As a can, Ian.
Now, hang on a second. Bob, let's explore that. We'll have a... Range, stay there. Range, could you spot the mistake in Bob's logic?
I was falling asleep.
Okay, so you couldn't. I'll do it for you. This is the comeback. Bob.
Hello.
So she neglected her children and flew to Australia.
Yeah.
And you're angry that she left her children on their own.
Yeah.
And you want to send her to prison. Do you see the contradiction there?
Well, yes, because she's going to lose six children.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.
She thinks so much of a stranger she met on a computer and he paid for her fare to go over, right, knowing that when she said she was going to the supermarket or whatever she was going, she wasn't.
Yeah, but you can't...
She may have got in touch with a man.
Bob.
But surely she could have asked a neighbour to keep an eye out and say,
In some ways, I think that's worse. I don't know why. Janet, you couldn't look after the kids. I'm going to go off to Australia to meet my lover. But Bob, you can't send her to prison because then the kids will be left on their own.
No, they should be... Well, they could have been either looked after by a relative or put... Until she
put them in a care home. So you want to put herself. Her... Oh, you want to put her, want to put her six kids into a care home?
Well, what I'm saying, Ian.
I wish I'd stop with you, Range.
If that lady thinks more of a stranger she has never met face to face, as opposed to her six children,
some of those people on the internet, Bob, they're hot.
There's something wrong. There really is.
Bob, what was your second point?
Second point, you're on about Black Friday.
Yes.
I'm going to say probably about, I agree, 130%.
It's mathematically impossible, but thank you.
It's Americanized, it's tripe garbage, it's just a policy for people
Bob.
To spend money.
Bob.
Hello?
Yeah, hang on a second. Ranjit.
Hiya.
Producer Joe got it because she laughed in my ear. I got it. Did you spot the mistake in Bob's second point, Ranj?
Yes.
Go on.
130%.
No, okay, that one to one side. That was. No, he said it's Americanized.
Yeah.
It's garbage.
Yeah.
Guys, hello. We call it rubbish over here. Bob, thank you for that.
Yes,
Ranjit, what would you like to say?
We'll find out after this.
I play the taxi journey when the weather chat has dried up after 5 minutes. I play your other half's really bad taste in TV. I play the first chance you've had to sit down since that customer. An iPlayer ending up in the wrong queue at the supermarket every single time. BBC iPlayer. BBC Radio and TV. Always there when you need it.
Go on then, Ranj.
Hiya. Hello. I'm trembling with fear.
Let's go to Ranjit from Oldbury now. Good afternoon, Ranjit.
Ranjit from Oldbury.
I believe you're a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yes.
Okay.
Listen, I'm trembling with fear from your last caller. You know, he regards me as okay.
No one has phoned up Ranjit to say... Hey, Ranjit's on, brilliant. We love Ranj, he's the best. No one's phoned up to say that, so...
Well, you probably will get people today.
I bet we don't.
And I reckon you ought to ask every caller what they think.
Okay.
Okay, listen, about this thing, it's not... it is real, this... what you call Black Friday, yeah?
I'm just adding some music to make this call a bit exciting.
Music, right? You're going to hear the shots in a minute. Yeah, you know the Asda on the Wolverhampton Road... Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening, Ranj.
Yeah, the Asda on the Wolverhampton Road, the staff that work in there, they come and tell me. They had to call the police because people were fighting over empty trolleys last year. Yeah? The Albury Retail Park, 5:30 in the morning, they had to call the police because people were jumping the queue and the shop hadn't even been open. All they're doing is hyping up these people so they'll spend all their hard-earned cash
on things that they don't really need.
Yeah, I know, that's what I've been saying. That's what I've been saying for the last 20 minutes, you plum.
No, no, you're the plum.
You're the plum?
You're the plum, because you know what? You ain't going to ask all your audience, right, what they think about my calls.
Okay, I will. Okay, we'll do it.
Listen, don't cock a deafen when I'm speaking.
Cock a deafen? Are you my mother? No, 03453 009956. What do you think of Ranjit's dull calls?
No, I'm listen.
Do we hear too much of Ranjit on BBC WM 95.6?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, well, that's you saying that.
That's because people love it.
Hang on a second, Nigel.
I'm fed up with Ranjit's calls.
Nigel, thank you. We'll come back to the point you were going to make in a second. That's just the first one, Ranj. Are you sure you want to take have your pants pulled down and your body spanked like this?
I just love it, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm offering you that challenge because a few weeks ago, yeah, somebody from, I think he's from the jewellery quarter.
Yeah.
He told you, he says, Ranjit would be a good call presenter with you. And you faded him out.
Yeah, because that was nonsense. The phones are going mental, Ranjit, and I don't think you're going to like what they've got to say.
I'm going to listen. I'm mad enough to
Mike,
take it on the chin.
Mike.
Hello, hello.
You're through to Ranjit. What would you like to say to him, caller?
Ranjit, just one thing, OK? A few weeks ago, I was on the radio regarding drink driving and whether people should kind of inform us people. And you said it's none of their business. It's not our business. It's none of our business to do that job. But I think that you get involved in everything else that isn't your business and want to make it your business, apart from something that the police need to be involved in. Can you see what you're doing wrong, Ranjit? You get involved in everything else, but you're telling people not to get involved in other things.
Listen, what I said was I'd want to, but the thing is the police should be doing that job, not us.
Okay, Mike.
That's what I was saying.
Ken's in Ladywood. Ken, you're through to Ranjit. What would you like to say to Ranjit, Ken?
Ranjit, you're about as interesting as piles.
Now, Ranjit, do you want to carry this on?
I'll carry on.
You sure you want to carry this on?
Yeah,
okay, 03453 009956. It's what do you want to say to Ranjit?
Go on.
Let's try. Hang on a second. It's a long time since I've used one of these screens. Hang on. Mohammed, you're through to Ranjit. What would you like to say?
Leave Ranjit alone.
Oh.
Give him a chance.
Give him a chance. Give him a chance. He gets a chance every flipping show on BBC WM.
Yeah, but he don't let him speak. He keeps stopping him all the time and giving him a hard time.
Mohammed, he's talking rubbish. That's why.
You're giving him a hard time all the time.
Yeah, listen. There you are. You're cutting me out. Each time I say something sensible. You never let me finish about the police the other day, yeah?
Right, here we go.
Okay, I totally disagree. I did say I totally disagree with people drink driving.
Listen, we've had a couple of emails. Let Ranjit call. You don't let him come to word. That's from Michael. So you've got people who can't even write English. Cliff says, I think Ranjit should take over the Friday afternoon show. He's an old hand at broadcasting and we listeners can clearly understand his voice. The Ranjit show has a certain ring to it, yeah. Whereas the Ian Lee show sounds like lemon tea. Pete's in Moseley. Good afternoon, Pete.
Yeah, hi. How are you, Ian?
What do you like to say to Ranj?
I just think he's barely OK. I mean, I think when he gives an opinion, he's the only one that believes that his opinion is right. But what I did want to say, really, about Ranjit is he phoned up a couple of weeks ago, and I think he said he spent 16 hours a day phoning different radio stations, or did he say he works 16 hours a day? I can't remember. I think he said he's on the phone 16 hours a day.
Yeah, sad, isn't it? Very sad. Yeah. He's a sad case, isn't he, Pete?
He's definitely a sad case.
Ranjit, you're a sad case, according to Pete.
Well, don't matter. You're fading me out again. I can kick it, mate.
Listen, boy, I don't want to see you let a good thing slip away. You know I don't like watching anybody make the same mistakes I made. She's a real nice girl and she's always there for you. But a nice girl wouldn't tell you what you should do. Oh, listen, boy, I'm sure that you think you got it all under control. You don't want somebody telling you the way to stay in someone's soul. You're a big boy now and you'll never let her go. But that's just the kind of thing she ought to know. Accept that you're for real. Tell her about it. Tell her all your crazy dreams. Let her know you need her. Let her know how much.
much she means. Listen, boy, it's not automatically a certain guarantee. To ensure yourself, you've got to provide communication constantly. When you love someone, you're always insecure. And that's only one good way to reassure. Tell her about it, let her know how much you care. When she can't be with you, tell her you wish you were there. Tell her about it every day before you leave. Pay her some attention, give her something to believe. 'Cause now and then she'll get to worrying, just because you haven't spoken for so long. And though you may not have done anything, will that be consolation when she's gone? Listen, boy, it's good information from a man who's made mistakes. Just a word or two that she gets from you could be the difference that it makes. She's a trusting soul, she's put her trust in you. But a girl like that won't tell you what you should do. Except that you're for real. Tell her about it, tell her all your crazy dreams. Let her know you need her.
Okay, guys and gals. Oh, you can't say that now, hang on. Ladies and gentlemen, enough of the Ranjit bashing. I think he's we've put him safely back into his box. No doubt we'll release him for a full minute's banter tomorrow. When can we stop saying the word banter? Can we stop saying banter now? Bit of bants, isn't it? Can we stop saying that? Right, 03453 009956. It turns out you do want to talk about Black Friday. Is that because you are lemmings and lemons? Lemon lemmings being sucked along? How do I finish this sentence delicately? By the hype of commercialism. That's it. Thank you. I knew we'd get there in the end. And also, a mum has got a suspended prison sentence because she left her six kids, the eldest of 14. She said she was off to the shops. She was going to Australia to meet her lover that she'd only ever met on the internet. Oh! 03453 009956. It's a serious story, and we're kind of nodding in that direction. But kids of my generation that grew up in the 70s and the 80s, we were left on our own all the time. I remember being left on my own at the age of six in the house so that my mum could take my sister to brownies. And when she came back, I'd lit the fire! I'd lit the fire! Where and when have you been left as a child, please? 03453 009956. Let's get the travel news. Here's Liz Saul. Liz?
Hello, Ian. It's looking very congested on the A34 this afternoon around Great Whirley. There's been an accident near to Love Lane and the road is partially blocked. Police are at the scene. In Lichfield, we're getting reports of an accident on Dimbles Lane near to Dimbles Hill. Officers on the way to that to investigate. It's looking very congested around Holloway Head in the centre of Birmingham this afternoon. Near to the mailbox and the Bullring shopping centres, I can't imagine why. Around Solihull is also looking very congested on Warwick Road and Lode Lane. Through Handsworth is slow on Soho Road and all approaches to the Burnt Tree traffic lights in Dudley as you head along Birmingham Road, the junction with the A4123. If you can update us, call BBC WM95.6 Travel 08453 00228.
Thank you very much.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM95.6.
Afternoon, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM95.6. If you want to give us a call, 03453 00956. Let's get the news. Here's Chris.
Thank you very much, Ian. And a woman from Birmingham has been given a suspended jail sentence for flying to Australia for 6 weeks, leaving her six children home alone. She told her 14-year-old son he was in charge of his siblings while she went to the supermarket. The children are now being looked after by their grandparents. David Cameron's been setting out plans to restrict the number of people coming to the UK from other European countries. He said new immigrants who didn't find a job within 6 months would be deported. A man's been taken to hospital after being shot at a hairdresser's in Birmingham today. It happened on Somerville Road in Smallheath just after 10 o'clock. The man in his 40s was taken to hospital with a leg injury. He's in a stable condition and police are appealing for witnesses. And after just 4 months as assistant manager, Roy Keane has left Aston Villa. The 43-year-old says he isn't able to commit to the job at the same time as performing similar duties for the Republic of Ireland. And the weather, cloudy today, a bit brighter than yesterday, improving as the day goes on. Highs of 12 Celsius, 54 Fahrenheit. Dry but misty overnight with lows of 6 Celsius, 43 Fahrenheit. Saturday starting cloudy but sunny spells developing with highs for Saturday of 13 Celsius, 55 Fahrenheit.
The voice
of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
I've just been reminded, I was driving along the motorway 25, better known as the M25, the other day, right? And so I'm driving anti-clockwise, don't really matter. And I looked over to the other side and I saw a car on the hard shoulder in the distance. And it intrigued me. And sort of I could see there was a bush to the side of the car, but I could see someone behind the bush. They had their trousers around their ankles, they were crouching down, they were doing a poo. Now, I mean, of all the places to have to go, I couldn't believe it. Now, the gentleman, for it was a man, obviously thought he was shielded by the bush. Well, he was shielded from the traffic on his side of the road. He wasn't shielded from me. What kind of car journey must that have been like? We've all been desperate, haven't we? But at what point, I have never, ever thought, I have got to stop the car and get out and do this on a motorway. Ever. I nearly weed in a bottle once when I was stuck in traffic, but I think we've all pretty much done that. 03453 009956. Afternoon, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. We're talking about Black Friday. I mean, I didn't want to, and I didn't think there'd be much appetite for it because you're such an intelligent bunch of callers. You know, it's a trick. Yeah, it's like Derren Brown. No, not Derren Brown. He can't really read. Yes, Derren Brown. He can't really read minds. Yeah, you know that's a trick that he's doing. It's not psychology. It's not. He's not psychic. It's a trick that you could learn from a book, or for you younger people, from YouTube. It's a trick. I've met people who think that Derren Brown is actually psychic, or that he's actually doing like psychological. Clever things to manipulate you. No, he's not. It's a trick. Derren Brown is no different from Paul Daniels. Daniels? Derren Brown is Paul Daniels for the 21st century. Guys? 03453 009956. And therefore, Black Friday is Derren Brown for the shops. I'm right, aren't I, Mark? It's a load of old bunkum.
Oh, I don't take into this Black Friday stuff.
Good for you.
Not for me. What's the point in hassling, queuing for bloody hours and then finding out that you can't get what you wanted anyway?
Here's the thing, right, and I know this is a controversial thought to express on a BBC local station, but you're right.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yep. Sorry, I'm on hand for it at the moment.
Okay.
It's a
controversial thing to express, right? I hate shops. The sooner we accept that the high street is dead, the better. Why would you go to a shop when I've got a computer? I can have things delivered to my house.
Well, that's it. I mean, you've got the hassle of trying to park the car, then you've got to walk round, then you've got to try and get out of where you're going.
Yeah.
Then you might not get what you wanted in the first place, so I can't really see the point.
I went to a shop yesterday to buy a microwave oven. Because ours, I was told ours had blown up, although it didn't look very blown up. So I took my youngest to a shop I got lost on the way to the shop, so it took me an extra 45 minutes to get there. And then I'm wandering around like a lemon. And then I finally found the microwaves and I'm comparing them online. Whereas if I was at home, I could have a nice cup of tea, I could be watching a little bit of Diagnosis Murder, and I could have a microwave delivered to me the next day.
Exactly. What's the point in all the hassle of... You know, like I say, with all the hassle of the shops, then you go from one shop, then they haven't got it, so you go to another shop, and they haven't got it, and you go to Like I say, you might end up going home without even getting what you wanted in the first place.
Thank you, thank you. Let us close down the high streets, guys. Come on. They're so 1980s, aren't they?
Oh, well, this is it. I mean, modern day now, technology, with all the, like you say, with all the computers and everything. What, you know, what's the point?
I don't want to talk to people. Anyway, Mark, that's not what you called in for, is it?
Not really, no. I was calling in to defend Ranjit.
Oh, blimey. I thought you were a decent bloke until then.
He's a good friend of mine.
Oh, thank you very much indeed. Come on, we're the BBC. We have to be impartial. We can't have Ranjit's mates phoning up to stick up for him, Producer Joe. Come on, you know the rules. Did we learn nothing from Russell Brand and Jonathan Ross? Nothing? 03453 009956. I kind of mean it as well. The high street is dead, right? The high street is dead. And Mary Portas and the government and the head of B&Q, they're all looking at ways to revitalise the high street. Don't bother. Don't bother because it's dead. Yeah, unless you want to go into Ladbrokes or Paddy Power or Oxfam. That's what the high street now is. It's gambling and dead men's shoes. 03453 009956. Rick's on a motorway. Afternoon, Rick.
Good afternoon. It's all right. I can't see anyone relieving themselves at the moment.
Man, it was so traumatic.
Oh, no, trust me. It's not as traumatic as a friend of mine. Back in the 80s, we were on our way to a bike motorcycle rally down in Devon, and I was living in Southampton, and there was about a dozen of us. And we get down as far as Exeter, and one of our friends, Cheese, decided he needed to release a chocolate hostage, if you get my drift.
Oh, my God, Rick, you actually said that on my radio show.
Well, I'm surprised you haven't. You said he needed to go for a behind the hedge, so I was actually being a little bit more diplomatic.
Yes. Oh, I feel nauseous.
Anyway,
flipping heck. Joe's crying.
Anyway, he hopped over the hedge.
Yes.
And unfortunately for him, one of our friends had an entrenching tool, one of those little fold-up shovels.
Oh, yeah. So,
as Cheese has dropped his pants and is going through the motions, so to speak...
Oh, gosh.
Our friend Andy put it underneath his backside and retrieved said article...
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. We can't go any further with that story. Okay. Rick, I believe I've just been told that you've got a good other story. I hope it doesn't involve something
good
in a shovel.
Story. Mother, when I was three and my brother was about 6 weeks old,
yes.
Decided with my father that we were going to go up to Wookie Hole.
Oh, I love Wookie Hole! Love Wookie Hole!
So did she, and she loved myself just as much, and... We got in the car and we got to Wookie Hole, and she then discovered that she left her three-week-old son at home in the bassinet, and we lived in Portsmouth, and it was a three-and-a-half-hour drive. Needless to say, we drove back, and as we came in, my brother was still asleep in the Moses Basket bassinet. As if nothing had happened, my mother was in fits and was beside herself and didn't know what the hell was going on.
Did that baby grow up to be called Cheese by any chance?
No.
That's that was somebody else. Okay. Flipping heck! Rick's lived a life that we can only dream of. 03453 009956. I'm shocked by the language. I'm more shocked by the language than I am by the story about leaving a 3.5 week old baby. How could you leave by 3.5 week? You're still kind of sore from having had the baby. Every movement is a reminder you've just had a baby, isn't it? Hey, here's something, right? So this mum got six kids, and she tells the eldest, the 14-year-old, I'm just going to pop to the shops, my love. Going to get you some Finder's Crispy Pancakes for your tea. Back in an hour. Goes to the airport, hops on a plane, flies to Australia to meet a bloke she's only ever met on the internet, right? She gets a suspended sentence. But yet there's a very famous gentleman who left a child in a pub toilet. Do you remember that? Yeah, David Cameron, your Prime Minister.
He could be a sinner, arch gentleman. He could be a preacher when your soul is down. He could be a lawyer on a witness stand. But I'll never love you like I can. He could be a stranger you gave a second glance. He could be a trophy of a one-night stand. It could have your humor.
never love you like I can, can, can. Maybe he's a mantra, keeps your mind in trance. He could be the silence in this mayhem. But then again, he'll never love you like I can, can. I love your demons like devils can. If you're self-seeking an honest man, you stop deceiving, don't leave.
Speaking of the can-can, have you ever been to the Moulin Rouge? The real one, not the movie. The Moulin Rouge in Paris. Ever been? It's really expensive and it's rubbish. It's rubbish. It's like the... On Saturdays in the 70s, you'd get kind of these, like, Showbiz Spectacular live from Scarborough Pier. It's all just like, you know, kind of middle-aged mums doing the can-can in Leon. It was that, but with more nipples. It was rubbish. And I worked out they must be taking about 400 grand a night. Awful place. Speaking of 70s spectaculars, do you remember the roly-polies? Do you remember the roly-polies? Probably couldn't do it now, could you? Basically, fat old women doing sexy dancing. That was an act. That was an act. You couldn't do that now. Oh, it's sexist. Oh, it's ageist. No, it was funny. Gary, do you remember the roly-polies?
Yes.
Who was... There was one, wasn't there? There was a really short, grey-haired one with glasses.
That's right. She was the main one, wasn't she?
She was the main one. What was her name?
Oh, I can't remember.
I want to say Babs, but I think Babs was a pans person.
I think she was, yeah.
03453-00956. Who was the main roly-poly, please? The really roly-poly one with the grey hair and the glasses. It was a great act, wasn't it?
Very good act. Very good act.
Gary, what can I do for you today, please?
Yeah, what about people using the toilet?
By the way, the phones have just gone mental again. Yes, Gary, go on.
Right, we were driving into Birmingham.
Yeah.
You know where the Royal Mail Depot is as you drive in just before you hit the ring road?
Yes, I do, yes.
Yeah, well, we came to them traffic lights there, and there's a few other bushes in the middle between the carriageways.
Yes.
My daughter that says to us, who's sitting in the back, she said, "What's that lady doing there?"
Oh.
Bearing in mind, them bushes aren't very big. And she's bent over, and a mate's there with some kitchen roll.
Oh, no.
How do you explain that to kids that are in the back of the car?
Well, the thing is, well, because when you go to... I don't know if you've ever been to Spain, Gary, but they are doing everything in the gutters in Spain. The kids and the adults, they're ones and twos. They don't really care. It's disgusting. But to see it over here where you would think we had standards.
Well, to be honest, yes. And in the middle of the road, for us, you've got cars going past each way. The car in front of us, the guy's got his phone out trying to video her.
Oh, blimey.
So I'll bet it's somewhere. If you search it, I'll bet it's on YouTube or somewhere like that.
I'm not going to look, but thanks. I can't even go if I know there's someone in the on the same floor of the building as me. So to do it in the middle of a road, Gary, thank you for that. We've taken quite a lavatorial turn, and I can only apologise. I blame the fact that I can see Paul Franks through the window. I think Franks is having an impact on me. Terry's in Perry Bar. Afternoon, Tel.
Good afternoon.
Go away, Franksy. Stop it. You're ruining this intellectual show.
Oh, Franksy, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Ooh, what you got for us, Tel?
The lovely rowdy-powdy lady was Mo.
It was... Hang on. Dean?
Yeah?
Were you going to say Mo as well?
I was, yeah.
It was Mo, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was called the Mighty Atom.
Yeah.
And Dean, have I got this right? So the roly-polies, it was just, and I say this with respect, it was just fat old women, wasn't it, dancing?
Correct.
We were easily pleased in the 70s, weren't we, Tel?
I wasn't.
Oh.
I've been to the Moulin Rouge when I was 17. It's a tip, it's a dump, isn't it?
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a tip, and it's awful, isn't it?
Yeah,
it costs a fortune, and the food is awful, the act is awful, the ambiance...
Ooh.
Is terrible.
Oh, get him, and he's French.
Dean, have you ever been to the Moulin Rouge?
I've gone past it.
Yeah, it's in a really seedy part of Paris as well, isn't it? Full of ladies of the night and dealers of the drugs.
I don't know. I was only there during the day.
Oh, well, Dean and Terry, you missed out on a sight there. But this is where we can take this. World-famous tourist attractions you've gone to and gone, is this it? Here's one. Have you been to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Joe? Was it rubbish? I bet it's tiny as well, isn't it? Here's one, the Mona Lisa. That's rubbish! Where's the real Mona Lisa? This is it? This postage stamp? You're not allowed to take. I don't want to take a picture of it. It's rubbish! You weren't allowed to use a flash. That was their thing. Oh, it will ruin the picture. It won't. It'll expose it for the tiny little con that it is, you French cheats. You've tricked us to come to this art gallery to look at a postage stamp. 03453 009956. This is a good one, actually. Tourist attractions that you have been to that are world famous, and you've kind of gone, well, is this it?
What is going wrong with Wolverhampton Wanderers? Let's ask Kevin. Hello, Kev.
The football phone-in with Paul Franks.
We're the first division team trying to play in the Championship. That's our problem.
Mark's a blue nose in Tamworth, and he's a happy blue nose. Hello, Mark.
This is Denise Kidd. Nobody looks at the league tables until after Christmas.
Are you sure?
No, the Championship is only just kicked into gear, mate.
The football phone-in. Have your say with the legends. Weeknights from 6.
BBC WM.
95.6.
03453 009956. So far, we are discussing a mother who left 6 kids alone so she could go meet her lover in Australia. The con, the myth that is Black Friday. Doing a poo by the motorway. I'm really sorry about that one. The roly-polies and rubbish tourist attractions. All of this in 50 minutes! Patrick's in Marston Green. Afternoon, Patrick.
Oh, here, mate.
What you got for us, fella?
I was just going to say, Mo the roly-polies. But staying with that thought, there was something so wrong about them dancing. You know what I mean? It was just wrong on so
there
many
was,
levels.
Now, listen, when the roly-polies were big...
They've always been big.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, Patrick, thank you. I'll set them up. You send them out flying. I must have been about 10, right? And that's about 1982, 83. There was one of them that I found quite...
Do not say.
I found one of the roly-polies quite sexy.
Oh, my God.
And I don't know any of their names. It certainly wasn't Mo. But it's a weird act, isn't it? In some, I imagine that historians of light entertainment in about 50 years' time will look at the roly-polies in the same way that we look at the black and white minstrel show as going, oh, how on earth could they do such a thing?
Yeah, I mean...
Laugh. And we were, the joke was... We were laughing at fat people, weren't we?
Definitely without a shadow of a doubt.
And you know what? It was a good act. It was a good act.
You know, I've been watching that programme television in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and in fairness, I mean, I'm 58. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, well, it's all right. None of it offended me.
Yeah.
None of it. What was going at the time.
Oh, for goodness sakes. I used to find Mind Your Language really funny, and I probably would still find it really funny.
Yeah. I mean, they're rerunning that one on the buses. It's still going to... It's that offensive and, you know, that bad. It's still running on telly today, you know what I mean? And you will... I mean, it's just the humour of the times. I think we've leaned far too far over to the one side and took everything out of context.
Patrick, ever been to a world-famous tourist...
Grand Canyon.
Sorry?
Grand Canyon.
Well, you jumped in there straight away. Not literally, that would be horrific. What was it disappointing?
I just thought it's a hole in the ground.
Oh, yeah! When you think about it, that's all it. Oh, that's the best call of the day so far. Thank you, Patrick.
I had to escape. The city was picking and cruel. Maybe I should have called you first, but I was dying to get to you. I was dreaming while I drove the long straight road ahead. Could taste your sweet kisses, your arms open wide. This fever for you was just burning me up inside. I drove all night to get to you. Is that all right? I drove all night, crept in your room.
Kids, you don't know you're born with your Jesse J's and your Coldplays and, I don't know, your New Kids on the Block and stuff, because you've got, like, proper talented entertainers. We had the Roly-Polies, ladies and gentlemen, the Roly-Polies. We might have a little bit of Mrs. Miller later on. You missed Mrs. Miller last week, Joe, because you weren't in on Saturday, but I might have a little bit of Mrs. Miller. And that is entertainment. 03453-00956. James is in Dudley. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. What can I do for you?
I was just talking about people using the toilet. Inappropriate places.
I'm just hanging on a minute. I've just had an email from the Gillards and from the Radio Academy. They want all the awards back. Wowzers. Never mind. Go on, what you got for us?
When I lived up north...
Yeah?
It was
I got went downstairs, got my morning cup of tea, come upstairs, and I pulled the curtains back on the upstairs bedroom, and some travellers had moved in. Like the night before, they'd like invaded the football pitch, and there was this bloke just squatting right in front of me to open the curtains. But the best bit of it was,
yes,
he thought it was funny, and he's turned round and then went to wipe his whatever.
Oh.
Someone shot him in the backside with an air rifle, and he'd run off.
Well, hang on a second. This story is bizarre from beginning to end, literally. So hang on, he's doing a whoopsie in the field behind your house.
I've opened the curtain, saw it, he thought it's funny. And then, as a sign of disrespect, he's turned round to white whatever, and then someone shot him up the backside, and he's run off trying to pull his trousers up.
James, thank you very much indeed. There we go. I'm not laughing at gun crime, because that would be inappropriate. Just, you know... We could have some Mrs... Where have I put Miss CD? Hang on a second. We played some Mrs. Miller the other day. Have you heard Mrs. Miller? Are you aware of Mrs. Miller? You like the Mamas and the Papas, don't you? Everyone likes the Mamas and the Papas. Mrs. Miller is a proper... This is old-fashioned entertainment from the olden days. She's a proper American singer. And she sings like nobody else. Ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Miller and Monday Monday. Ladies and gentlemen, just be warned, behave, otherwise you get all of the album, the best of Mrs. Miller.
That Monday, you would still be here with me.
Lots of things in America are rubbish. Las Vegas as a place is awful. I don't like gambling, I don't like drinking, and I don't like prostitutes. So that's basically the whole economy is based on those three things. It's an awful place. Tourist attractions, destinations you've been to see so far that are rubbish. So far, Leaning Tower of Pisa, the Mona Lisa, Las Vegas, and the Grand Canyon. Patrick described it as just a big hole in the ground. It is, really. When you think about it, it's just a big hole in the ground. Here's a tourist attraction that you could own. Jordan's boobs. Babe posts hospital selfies. Babe? She's like 49 years old now, isn't she? Model Kate Price posted live selfies as she prepared... Well, they can't be live. They'll just, anyway, as she prepared to have her seventh boob-op. The 36-year-old model even snapped two pictures of her two new implants sitting on the operating table. Pouting Kate said she was feeling great ahead of her 32 double D breast reduction. Kate wrote, like I've been saying, out with the old, in with the new. Yeah, most people aren't talking about their breasts when they say that. She captioned another no-makeup selfie of her lying on a hospital bed holding a camera in front of her chest. Sneak preview of Billy and Bob. You can now... She's going to sell her old breast implants. Talk about Black Fridays. Let's get the travel news. Here's Liz Saul.
Thanks, Ian. As you make your way around Great Whirley, the A34 is partially blocked because of an accident near to Love Lane. The centre of Birmingham is very congested, particularly inbound on Holloway Head, and as you head around the mailbox and Bullring shopping centres through the centre, Solihull is also very congested with shoppers on Warwick Road, Lode Lane, a lot of extra congestion there. Through Sparkhill, the A34 is very busy as you head along St John's Road. Round Albury, Churchbridge Island is heavy going, and all approaches to the Burnt Tree traffic lights at Dudley. If you can update us, 08453 002288.
Waking up the West Midlands with the latest news, sport, weather and travel updates. Pete Morgan at breakfast is back Monday morning from 6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
It's 3 o'clock, it's BBC WM 95.6. Let's get the news. Here's Chris Blakemore.
Thank you. Good afternoon. A woman from Birmingham's been given a suspended jail sentence for flying to Australia for 6 weeks, leaving her six children home alone. She told her 14-year-old son he was in charge of his siblings while she went to the supermarket. The youngest child was three. Our reporter Giles Latcham at Birmingham Crown Court earlier.
We heard that the children are now living full-time with their grandparents, but that the mother will be playing an active role in their upbringing. It was said in court that they are actually thriving academically, and as far as anyone can tell up to this point, are actually showing no signs of showing any bad experience as a result of this ordeal.
A British soldier has been sent to prison for 2 years for building a nail bomb at his home in Greater Manchester. Ryan McGee, who's 20, was preparing for deployment in Germany when he was arrested a year ago. The court heard that where he was interested in the far-right English Defence League, he told police it was because he didn't like mass immigration. Police are appealing for witnesses after a man was shot in a hairdresser's in Birmingham this morning. It happened on Somerville Road in Small Heath just after 10 o'clock. The man, in his 40s, was taken to hospital with a leg injury. He's in a stable condition. Conservative backbenchers have welcomed plans to further restrict benefits for EU migrants. In a speech this morning, David Cameron said migrants would have to wait for 4 years before being allowed to claim certain benefits. The package of reforms will need changes to European treaties. Don Flynn is from the Migrants' Right Network. He says only about 10% of EU migrants were receiving in-work benefits anyway, and it wasn't the reason they were coming to the UK.
Most European community nationals have never heard of something like tax credit or housing benefits when they arrive here. The pull factor is the availability of jobs. The UK economy is still growing in terms of the production of jobs. For the small fraction who are on the minimum wage, it's something that they only find about once they've got here. It doesn't pull them from their countries of origin.
The British Pregnancy Advisory Service is asking for a change in the law on protests outside abortion clinics. The group which provides the service says it's recently seen a significant upsurge in demonstrations with graphic posters as well as leaflets. And after just 4 months as assistant manager, Roy Keane has left Aston Villa. The 43-year-old says he isn't able to commit to the job at the same time as performing similar duties for the Republic of Ireland. BBC WM's Villa reporter Mark Regan says it's another blow for the struggling club.
I can't believe the timing of this. Roy Keane's argument is that the combination of Aston Villa and his duties on the international scene have become too much for him. Well, there's no immediate rush for him to devote any time towards Ireland in the next 7 days, which are absolutely pivotal in Aston Villa's season. They go to Burnley tomorrow. Again, it's live on BBC WM. That is absolutely huge.
And the weather, cloudy today, a bit brighter than yesterday and improving as the day goes on. Highs of 12 Celsius, 54 Fahrenheit. Dry but misty overnight with lows of 6 Celsius, 43 Fahrenheit. Tomorrow, starting cloudy but sunny spells developing with highs of 13 Celsius, 55 Fahrenheit. Sunday is looking cloudy but dry. BBC WM 95.6 News. There's more online at bbc.co.uk/WM.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
Who is the best presenter on BBC WM 95.6?
Danny Kelly.
Who's the second best presenter?
Cameron Martin.
Ian Lee.
BBC WM 95.6.
Afternoon, this is it. Why on earth are we playing that? For goodness sakes, guys, seriously. Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6, here every Friday, 2 till 4, and every Saturday, 9 till 12, with producer Joe. Francis coming up at 4. Until then, well, a little recap of what we've talked about and a little hint at what may come up in the rest of the conversation. Black Friday, if you've bought stuff today because it's Black Friday, then you're a plum. It's smoke and mirrors. It's a marketing man's dream. They're the same people that came up with You've Been Tangoed. 03453 00956. Rubbish tourist attractions. Well, you've gone to something that is really famous, and you've gone there and gone, is this it? One caller said he was really disappointed by the Grand Canyon. It was just a big hole in the ground. For some reason, we're talking about doing poos by the roadside. The roly-polies. Oh, and other bits and pieces. 03453 00956.
Have your say.
Across the West Midlands, call 03453 00956.
BBC WM 95.6.
There's so much I want to get in today. We want to talk about dogs. There's loads of stories about pets in the newspapers. And a couple that you always get in the papers, crazy proposal stories. Well, there's one in the paper, and you look at them, and they look like... you know, I mean, he's batting above his average. By not much. It's a tiny picture, you know, but it's a crazy proposal. But it's not that crazy. It's not that crazy. The kind of... the proposals I hate, Paul... Is when someone does it on, like, Jeremy Kyle or on a live TV programme. Because then the pressure... There's a lot of pressure on the person who's being proposed to, isn't there?
Oh, most definitely.
I think that's unfair. You're right, Joe. I think they must be really uncertain that the person's going to say yes. So they think... If they do it on That's Life, that's a current suggestion, isn't it? If they do it on a TV programme, that the person will have to say yes. I think it's a cheap trick, Paul.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Well, that's that conversation done. What have you called in about?
Well, you're saying about going to world-famous sites. I went to the Mormon Tabernacle in Salt Lake City, walked in and thought, nah, it's only a church. We've got better ones in England.
This is the home of Mormonism. This is where the religion... of Mormonism is kind of born and lives and thrives, and it didn't really do it for you.
No, it's the base. Yeah, I mean, the Tabernacle Choir, yes, they sung beautifully, but then so the Welsh male voice choirs, and you know, I've heard better concerts in Birmingham Symphony Hall, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've had an email. The tourist attractions, Ian says, the mermaid in Copenhagen is tiny and the background is an oil refinery. Most of the most of the European attractions are rubbish. The little boy having a wee-wee. The boy having a wee-wee. Is that what it's called? I don't think I can say that, though, Joe. I can say mannequin piss.
Mannequin pee.
That's what it's called, apparently, in Brussels. Thank you very much. You spend all afternoon trying to find it. You ask the locals, they don't know what you're talking about. And then you walk past it and go, oh, hang on, I think that was it. Rubbish. Whereas we've got, right, and I'm not just saying this because I don't like flying a jingoistic flag, but flipping hell, Paul, some of the tourist attractions we've got in this country are flipping the Houses of Parliament, excuse me, Buckingham Palace, in your face, America.
Almost definitely. Houses of Parliament, it's a great day out, and it's to actually sit in the public gallery and watch what goes on. It's an education in
itself.
Here's
the thing, right?
And it's free.
Here's the thing. I've never done that, and it's a thing I've never done, right? And I would love to do it, but I'm afraid of looking gawkish and mawkish. Going and sitting in... what's the court? The Old Bailey, that's it, thank you. Going in and sitting in the Old Bailey and watching a good old murder trial. Good old-fashioned murder trial. Taking the kids, taking a packed lunch and looking at British justice being meted out.
Well, why not go to Birmingham? Queen Elizabeth Courts are good enough, aren't they?
Fair play, Paul. You've got me there. Yeah, totally. What are you doing next week?
Why? What do you want me to do?
I want you to keep an eye on my car while I go to the Queen Elizabeth Courts.
Right, OK, we'll fix it up then.
Thank you, Paul. What a nice fellow. He's going to look after my car. Never done it. Never done it. And my wife, who's a reporter, has done it for her job. And I'm like, oh, so you get in there because you've got a press pass? No, you just go in and sit in there. What? Yeah, you just go in and sit in and watch a murder trial. What? Why did I never do this when I was a student living in London, man? I was too busy playing PlayStation and smoking dope. That's a joke. We couldn't afford a PlayStation. 03453 009956. We'll do stupid dogs in a bit. Because let's be honest, dogs is stupid. In it? We'll do those in a second. First up, though, hill of a way to propose. A man proposed to his girlfriend by writing, Lisa, marry me, in giant letters on a mountain. Lisa Jenkins, 29, was left speechless when she spotted the 30-foot message on the Cat's Back Ridge in the Black Mountains on the English-Welsh border. Chris Napton, 29, of Hereford, who took Lisa over the ridge in a plane, said... Lisa hadn't clicked. Oh, right. You always want to click before you propose, just in case, you know, you're not compatible. Oh, sorry. Lisa hadn't clicked. Then she saw this white spot in the distance, and as we got closer, she burst into tears of joy. You say tears of joy. It doesn't say whether she said yes or no. It doesn't say whether they're going to get married or not as a direct result of what is, let's be honest, a slightly rubbish proposal, isn't it? That's a slightly rubbish proposal. Whoa, 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 didn't outdo me. What are you talking about? I smuggled a ring to Japan and then by a lake at the foot of Mount Fuji, got down on one knee. Fancy it? It was in Japan. It's better than putting stones on a mountain. There are stones on mountains already. 03453 009956.
Everybody's fine to do.
Here's a text you don't see very often from Patrick. All right, Paddy. The Telegraph has got a story about a funeral hearse being stolen with a body in the back. That's funny. I wouldn't open with it, Patrick. Jeff, on the subject of tourist destinations that are rubbish. Destinations that are duff, Western Supermare, boring. Yeah, it's, I know, but it's not exactly the Leaning Tower of Pizza or the Grand Canyon, is it? Here we go. Now, I've heard this before, Andy, yes. I went to Cairo and the pyramids in 1991. Absolute dog hole. Filthy, dirty and horrible locals tried to take a pic of me with my camera, then charged me for the privilege. Police on camels carrying an AK-47. Weird. Patrick says, the worst thing about the... Oh, this is other Patrick. The worst thing about the Grand Canyon, I paid $90 to see it, so who was the mug? And Matt says, I've been to Vi Beach, Crete, where the bounty ads used to be filmed. It looked like a rubbish tip. Well, Crete in itself is a hole, isn't it? That's a hole in the ground, if ever there was one. The hole of Crete. 03453-00-9956. Yeah, you're right. In Crete and the Greek islands, this is disgusting. And we go to Greek islands every year because we've got family over there, right? You can't put toilet roll down the toilet. You have to put it in a little bin next to the toilet. Oh, no wonder they're bankrupt. Hey, you know dogs, they're well stupid, innit? They are. You know I'm a cat person. Cats are intelligent. Dogs are stupid. Apparently a new study says that if a dog... We're finally starting the show. Only an hour and 16 minutes late. This is supposed to be at the start of the show. Apparently a new study says... Oh, dear. That if a dog turns its head to their right, it knows precisely what you're telling it. If it turns it to the left, it hasn't got a clue. Well, this is, listen to this. This was Andrew Mitchell talking yesterday. And apparently there's a dog in the background. What do you think this dog is thinking?
The pain myself and my family have been through is indescribable. And it is particularly saddening that all this happened because I was merely following procedures. I was doing my job. Without fear or favour.
That wasn't Andrew Mitchell, of course. We all know he's posh. That was a copper. That was PC Toby Rowland, who was suing Andrew Mitchell over claims he made everything up. But that dog was going for it in the background. Shut up! Dogs, we all know that dogs are stupid, don't we? I've owned a dog in the past, and boy, oh boy, it was dumb. It was dumb. Well, we're joined by Dr. David Sands, who's an animal behaviourist. Good afternoon, David.
How are you? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Dogs are stupid compared to cats, aren't they?
No, that's not quite right.
Go on, then.
I mean, they shared a common ancestor. They evolved in a different way.
Oh,
cats
yeah.
to be solitary predators, dogs to be social hunters. That's why, when you look at them in terms of intelligence, it's more about problem solving and learning to live with us. Now, cats don't learn to live with us; we learn to live with them, don't we?
Oh, that is a great way of putting it. Yes,
dogs have to be part of the social group.
Yeah,
and they're canny, which is a great word for dogs, isn't it? And it's very breed specific. In this article that has triggered this conversation we're having now, there's a vet there who's a physiologist. He's not a psychologist, he's not a behaviorist, and he's talking about his two dogs. One's a terrier, one's a lurcher. So one's been line bred to go down holes and get rats, and the other one is a sight hound that's got speed and chase and looking for something. And he compares the two,
right?
Which is like comparing chalk and cheese. So that's a bit daft for a start. But the clever thing about dogs,
yeah,
and this applies to cats, but cats are more instinctive in some ways. They map us. They look for cues and associations, and they make very fast first-time associations, whether it's a sound, whether it's a smell, whether it's something that we do, a routine. So, I mean, in the case of words, it's not the words they understand. It's the phonetics and the sounds of the words that go with them. And if they're associated with something, you don't have to be very intelligent, but if walk comes with a lead, that you're going to go out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, from your point of view, I understand why people say they're dumb, and some breeds are, and some are very clever. You know, there's a border collie that can select an individual toy out of, I don't know, 40 in a box. Uh-huh. You can say sniff a snowman and he'll go and get it. So
sniff
is that
snowman.
Clever or is it instrumental learning? And this is where the whole process of who is intelligent and who
David,
isn't becomes funny.
You said some dogs were dumb. What are the dumbest breeds of dogs? And how do we know they're dumb?
Well, you know, you can see them sometimes, can't you? That boxer that's all muscle and boisterous, that comes from the Mastiff line, that just is like that muscle man with no brains,
oh,
you know.
Hang on, can I just say that's Dr. David Sands saying this, muscle men with no brains, not
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I've got to be careful what I say.
Yeah, totally.
I'm generalising now, and yeah. this is a bit of fun. But what I'm saying is there are people who use their brains all the time and are very good at instrumental learning, very intelligent, retentive memories, you know, become surgeons and all the rest of it. And there's other guys who become bricklayers. They both do an important job. Is that too extreme?
No,
for you?
I'm just enjoying watching someone else dig a hole for a change instead of me.
Yeah, but in the shape, if we turn this to dogs.
Yeah.
Dogs, there's sort of like this group of DNAs in the dogs that go back thousands of years,
yeah.
And we have selected for what we wanted them to do. Did we want the wolf-like behaviour in the collie to go and circle and bring in, you know, our food? Did we want this huge animal to guard and protect what yeah. we've got? Did we want it to hunt, you know, your deer hounds and your Irish wolfhounds? You know, what did you want the dog to do? Did you want it to go down holes and get rats? The Phoenicians took terriers to Malta thousands of years ago just for vermin control, and we forget this. We've selected the plasticity of the dog
yeah.
means you can have a Chihuahua and you can have a flipping St. Bernard, you know.
Here's the thing, right? Here's why I think the cats are more intelligent than dogs, right?
Go on.
I've got a cat. If I had a dog as well, right, and I lived at home with just the cat and the dog, and I died, okay...
Yeah.
The dog would just sit by me and mope. The cat would eventually eat me, wouldn't she?
Well, so would the dog.
No, the dog wouldn't, though, because the dog
would... If there's no food, that dog would start thinking, You'd be surprised. It's like humans.
Yeah.
You know, up in the Andes,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
a plane crash and you've no food. You'd be surprised what animals do under instinct. And we are animals, remember?
Here's something.
But this study is interesting because yeah. the right and left parts of the brain, like our frontal lobes, do operate different things in opposite. And, you know, I've seen dogs cock their head both ways because they can't work anything out. And I've seen cats do a very similar thing. But cats are good at getting us to do things by their own cues.
Oh, they manipulate us completely,
yeah.
don't
yeah.
they?
Where dogs want to be part of what we're doing. Can you see the difference?
I can. Hey, yeah. I don't know if you heard this story, David. Apparently it's a tradition in Switzerland to eat roast cat with a bit of garlic over Christmas. It's like a traditional Christmas meal. And loads of do-gooders have got a petition signed to get people to stop this. What would you ever eat a cat?
Oh, would I ever eat a cat if I was starving? You know, it's a domesticated animal. It's like saying, would you eat a lamb? You know, you're not looking at the lamb when you're having your lamb chop, are
no,
you?
No, no.
So it is very subjective. You can eat anything if you have to
yeah.
at the end of the day, but in our social situation, that's not appropriate, like the Koreans eating dogs.
Yeah.
But, you know... both of them were prey animals for humans years ago,
yeah.
you know, and we've got to remember that. It's us who brought them into the home, whether it's a dog or a cat, and for whatever role we wanted, and that's changed over the years. You know, you've got this new role as accessory. You know, if you're a celebrity, you want one in a handbag. If you're a hard man, you want your Staffordshire Bull Terrier at your side, threatening everybody, don't you?
You really... David, it's good to talk to you this afternoon. I really enjoyed that. Thank
good.
You very much. We'll speak again soon. We'll get him back. He was brilliant. Dr. David Sands, animal behaviourist. But it's weird, isn't it? Why would you not eat a cat? Would you eat a cat, Rob?
No, mate. It's a pity you let you get...
Why? What did you want to say to him?
Well, I'm a bricklayer and I ain't sick.
This is the reason...
I work with bricklayers teaching at a college and they ain't sick. They're lecturers.
Well, this is partly why I let him go, Rob, because I didn't want you to beat him up.
Well, I wasn't going to beat him up, mate. I'm a bit more intelligent than that.
Oh, blimey.
But, you know, you can't make assumptions on what people do for a living.
You're absolutely correct. So how intelligent are you, Rob?
Intelligent enough to say goodbye to you before you put the phone down.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was too late. Rob, thank you very much indeed. You'd eat a cat. Well, first of all, okay, two things come out of the back of that conversation. He was good. I liked him. We'll get him back. Two things come out of that conversation, okay? Dogs are stupid. Dogs are stupid. I'm not totally buying what David Sands is saying there. I think he's from the Dog Fan Club Association. Dogs is dumb. Cats is brains. And the Swiss eating cat. I'd never heard of this. But cat with a bit of garlic, it sounds all right, doesn't it? It sounds all right. It would taste... I bet it's quite tough. Tough meat. But it's like duck. Yeah. 03453 009956. Michael, Chris, stay there. I've just got to do this. I think I'm about to go through a big Beach Boys phase in my life. I think. Michael, Chris, stay there. We'll come to you after the news because I want to give you both a fair crack of the whip. Last 30 minutes of the show before Frank's at 4. So if you want to give us a call about any of the things we've talked about, really keen to get your rubbish destinations, tourist attractions that you've thought, yes, this is it, we're finally going to go and see. I mean, the Eiffel Towers, it's a great view, but it's a bit manky, isn't it? When you get up the top, the view of Paris is wonderful, but you've got to get up the top. And, well, it's just like it's made out of Meccano or something, isn't it? It's quite grubby. And that square is horrible with all people trying to sell you turton. Oh, no. Rubbish. Rubbish tourist attractions, please. 03453 009956. It's the age-old cat versus dogs. We all know cats are more intelligent than dogs. And could you ever eat a cat? And if you're a meat eater and you say you couldn't eat a cat, well then, you're just a hypocrite, aren't you? 03453 009956. Let's get the travel news. Here's Liz.
Ian, there's a couple of motorway problems to contend with now. The M42 going north has a lane blocked between 6 and 7. The Birmingham Airport turn to the M6 interchange. Congestion is all the way back to 3A in the M40, and motorway is starting to look very snarled up for a Friday afternoon, as you might expect. The M6, as you head south, has a lane blocked. A vehicle has broken down in the bottom of the roadworks. 10A to 10, that's towards the Wolverhampton and Walsall exit to the A454. Traffic's very slow going as you head between 11 and 10. The A34 around Great Whirley near to Love Lane is still partially blocked because of an accident. In the centre of Birmingham, it's congested on Holloway Head and round Suffolk Street, Queensway. Close to the mailbox and the Bull Ring, there's a lot of shoppers about for some reason. At the centre of Solihull, likewise congested on Warwick Road and Lode Lane. Round Spitfire Island is busy in Tyburn, the A452. Near to the shops, around Fort Parkway. Around Oldbury at Churchbridge Island is congested, as it is along the A461 as you make
make your way through Dudley. If you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6 Travel 08453 0022 88.
Thank you, Liz. Here's Chris with the news.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
Thank you, Ian. Good afternoon. A woman from Birmingham has been given a suspended jail sentence for flying to Australia for 6 weeks to see a man she'd met on the internet, leaving her six children home alone. She told her 14-year-old son he was in charge of his siblings while she went to the supermarket. The youngest child was three. They're all now being looked after by their grandparents. David Cameron's been setting out plans to restrict benefit payments to people coming to the UK from other European countries. The Prime Minister said new arrivals would be stopped from claiming benefits while they're working, that those who don't find a job within 6 months would be told to leave. A police officer stabbed a dog to death after it bit and held onto a detective's legs during a drugs raid. It happened at about 6 this morning in Lewisham in London. Police have received a complaint about the incident. And Aston Villa have announced Roy Keane has quit as the club's assistant manager. The former Man United player had been splitting his time between Villa and his job with the Republic of Ireland. And the weather then, cloudy today, a bit brighter than yesterday and improving as the day goes on. Highs of 12 Celsius, 54 Fahrenheit. Dry but misty overnight with lows of 6 Celsius, 43 Fahrenheit. Tomorrow, starting cloudy but sunny spells developing later with highs for Saturday, 13 Celsius, 55 Fahrenheit.
The voice. The voice. The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
Let's just write off the news. The actual news, the in and out of the news. Chris, I think we're quits now. I think we're quits now. It's been a disaster from start to finish. We really need to knock these hard drinking sessions before the show on the head. I don't think it's doing anybody any favours. Seriously. 03453. 034. No, if I rustle the paper, it makes it sound like I'm busy and I'm interested in the show. 03453-00956 is the phone number. Rubbish tourist destinations. Would you ever eat a... You'd eat a cat, wouldn't you, Michael?
I think I have been wanting a couple of unscrupulous takeaways.
Meat is meat. Listen, I was a vegetarian for 26 years until March this year, and I ate meat for the first time since I was 15. I'm about to have my first ever meaty Christmas since the age of 14. If it had a face, I will eat it. I'll eat any old bit of meat. And if it's a cat, so what?
Well, I used to eat rats when I was prisoners and I had nothing to eat in Japan.
Sorry?
They used to eat the rats, didn't they?
Oh, I thought you said you ate a rat.
No, not lightly.
I would eat a rat if I had to.
Anyway.
You know, you get those hog roasts, right, where you got a big fat pig on a skewer being turned slowly over a fire, yeah?
Is it a pig?
Well, it looks like a pig. Imagine a cat roast.
Yeah, so you've got a skewer. You could get about four on a skewer, couldn't you?
You've got to skewer up a cat's bum, and you're roasting it slowly over an open fire. I can't think of anything more romantic.
I think if you had a blindfold on, you probably wouldn't tell the difference between that and a piece
of
chicken.
Exactly. The only thing is, right, it's because we've invited cats to live in our houses. That's why we think it's a bit weird. But there's nothing weird about eating cat at all. And the did you know that in Switzerland they eat cats for Christmas?
That's just to cut the population down.
Here we go, Michael. Here we go. I'm about to do a joke. Cats aren't just for Christmas. If you spread it out nicely, they'll last until New Year.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Thank you very much indeed.
Right, I'm just about going to blow your theory about dogs.
I wonder what you're going to blow. Yes, it's a theory.
I've just read a book.
Yeah.
Called Trio.
Oh yeah.
Right. It's about a dog.
Yeah.
In Afghanistan.
Oh yeah.
That used to sniff out IDs.
What?
And has saved loads of troops' lives by smelling out these explosives and getting the blokes to come along and defuse the items.
Right.
I haven't ever heard of a cat doing that. Well, you think a cat's intelligent,
Michael,
enough to do that?
Yeah, Michael, you've just argued against yourself.
I haven't.
You have, sir. I mean, cats are so intelligent that they wouldn't go and sniff out explosives because they don't want to get blown up. Dogs are like, yeah, I'll go sniff, it's a bomb. Yeah, I'll go sniff it out. I'll go sniff out the bomb. They don't realise that they could blow their noses off.
They're conscientious objectors, them cats are,
yeah,
mate.
Exactly. They've got a conscience and they've got political savvy.
I'm sure the blokes out in Afghanistan would rather have a dog go out and sniff them out rather than blow them up.
Here's the thing. You know, dogs, right? Dog, you know dogs can sniff cancer?
Yes, yes.
And I interviewed a woman who was epileptic. And the dog knew, before the woman did, when she was going to have a seizure.
Oh, I don't doubt it. They are very, very...
How is that possible?
I don't know. It's just something inbred within the dog, I think.
Michael, thank you very much. How is that possible? Right? Dogs, of course, cats are more intelligent than dogs because they won't go to Afghanistan to sniff out explosives because they're not stupid, right? But how do dogs smell cancer, and how did this dog know that the woman was going to have an epileptic fit? Like about 20 minutes before she had the epileptic fit, it gave her enough time to phone up the hospital or to warn her daughter. She would go and sit down and sit in a comfortable position ready for the fit. How is that possible? How is that possible, Steve?
Hello.
Hello, Stephen.
Hello.
Hello, Stephen.
Just talking about a few years ago, we went out...
Oh, he's had a very rude tweet. Yes.
Went out for chicken curry at a place in town called the Slow Boat.
OK. Are you about to be rude about this place now?
No, not at all.
Are you sure? Because you've said the place. And so if you're going to be... Are you going to say a nice thing about the place or a bad thing about the place?
Best curry I've ever had in my life.
OK.
Absolutely fantastic.
It just says on my screen, cats. That's what's worrying me.
Right. Well, we went into work the next day telling everybody about the best curry in the world.
Yes, yes. Did somebody at work say something rude about this place?
No. Everybody loves it.
OK.
It's not there anymore now, so it don't matter.
OK. Oh, gosh, I'm nervous. Not another complaint.
We got home, and my dad, sick and tired of hearing about this curry.
Yeah.
Just then on ATV Today, it was there.
Yeah.
Came up, the elf people had gone in because they found over 100 cats hanging up in the Slow Boat.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
And it was the nicest curry I've ever had.
Your thumb is right up, thumbs up for cats.
Yeah, thumbs up for cats, mate.
What did it taste like?
Chicken.
Beautiful. Thank you very much indeed. 03453-00-9956 is the telephone number. Chris is in Walsall. Good afternoon, Chris.
How are you? You're all right, mate.
I'm doing all right, sir. I've had really bad... You know when you used to do cross-country at school, right? And you get a thing called a stitch. You know the stitch you get in your chest or just by the side?
Yeah.
And it's a really real painful. Someone told me, is this true? It's your liver sticking to your outside of your body.
I haven't got a clue.
Someone told me it's your liver sticking to the outside of your body. And so until we get a better explanation of what a stitch is, let's assume it's that, right? I've had a stitch. I've not had a stitch for 27 years. I've had a stitch for the last week, Chris.
You should stop running around then.
Well, I'm not running. I'm a very, very, as producer Joe will verify, I'm a very lazy man. Very lazy man. I don't run anywhere.
How can you get a stitch through all the Twitter, you know?
I don't. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's the... Oh, I had a good argument with someone on Twitter the last couple of days. Anyway, Chris, you've not called in about Twitter. You've not called in to talk about stitches. What have you called about, Chris?
These rubbish tourist destinations.
Yeah.
My missus and me went down to my mate who lives in Devon. And she took me to the Nome Reserve.
Yeah.
And I didn't know we was going there to start with until we pulled up there because I dragged her to a cider factory first because I went to a dollop of cider.
You wanted a dollop of cider, yeah, beautiful.
So on the way back, she decided to bypass where we were stopping, went down to this Nome Reserve. And she pulled up and I saw this sign that said Nome Reserve.
Yeah.
And it's world renowned. It's got the world's biggest collection of gnomes.
Wow.
And I said to her, I said, if you think I'm going in there, you've got another thing coming. She went round there for about 3/4 an hour and she had to wear a gnome's hat to have a look at garden gnomes.
She had to... So not only did she have to go and look at garden gnomes, but they made her wear a gnome's hat.
They give you a gnome's hat to wear and you walk around wearing this gnome's hat and looking at garden gnomes. It's the worst place. It must be the worst place. It's worse than the Grand Canyon.
And Chris, were you just sat in your car the whole time?
Yeah, I just sat in the car. I refused to get out of the car.
what did your...
Point blank refused to go to this known reserve.
And do you think your missus was doing it partly to kind of stick two fingers up at you?
Well, basically, yeah, because, as I say, yeah, I dragged her to this side of the factory so I could have some free samples.
Chris, thank you very much for that. You know that somewhere in this great country of ours, there's a lawnmower museum, you know that? And I think there's a pencil museum as well. All of them better than the Grand Canyon. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. I forgot this was happening. The trailer for the new Star Wars film has been released. Oh, dear. I mean, really, what is the point? What is the point? I've seen Star Wars loads of times. Because it was always, you know, in the 80s, Star Wars was on ITV like every Saturday night, wasn't it? 5:45. Here's something they don't do anymore. They used to show like adult films, not blue films, but adult kind of action films like Midnight Run and stuff, but at 5:45. And so you'd have it'll be dubbed over. You mother fluffer. You all stuff like that. I'm going to get my guns and I'm going to shoot you, you mother fluffer. Do you remember? They used to do that. They don't do that anymore, do they? But the new Star Wars, I mean, I've seen Star Wars loads of times. I've seen The Empire Strikes Back once. My mum took me to the cinema. Never seen Return of the Jedi. I have seen the Ewok movie, Caravan of Courage. People will be getting well excited about the new Star Wars. Are you excited, Viv, about the new Star Wars film? Hello, Viv.
Oh, hello. Sorry, I didn't realise you were talking to me.
Is your name Viv?
That's right, yes, I did.
That was the clue. Are you excited about the new Star Wars film?
No.
No, no, nor am I. But there'll be loads of geeks in their bedrooms, in their parents' houses, just now having watched that Star Trek trailer about 50 times in a row, just buckling up their belts and going downstairs for their tea.
Yes, anyway, and they'll be spending a fortune.
Spending a flipping fortune. What have you got for us, Viv?
Well, I was just speaking to your associate and saying that a couple of years ago I went up Sugarloaf Mountain, and I was actually disappointed.
Oh.
Which seems ridiculous because it's such an iconic landmark that everybody sort of has visions of it, which I suppose was why I was disappointed. I mean, the trip up was fantastic. You go on two cable cars, view is fantastic. You get to the top, you've got a panoramic view of the coastline, and you can see Copacabana Beach.
Yeah.
But if you think of the shape of it, the top of the mountain isn't actually very big, and there's nothing there.
Do you know what? As I get older, Viv, here's the thing. Views are really boring, aren't they?
Well, after five minutes, yes. You know, you think, well, what do I do now? It had a very expensive restaurant up there.
Oh, they always do, don't they?
Yeah. The gift shop was, well, the prices were astronomical, and some very inadequate toilets, and that was it. And as you just said, you look at the view for 5 minutes, and then what do you do?
Did you feel, when you were up there, did you try and continue the excitement when you were up there? Or did after 5 minutes, did you actually admit to yourself, this is dull?
Well, I was with a crowd of people, so you obviously have to go along with the flow.
Yeah.
You don't want to, because you don't want to be the party pooper.
No, but you could also be the kid that points out the emperor is naked.
Yeah.
Viv, listen, thank you for that. Views are boring, aren't they? Views are boring. I've been up high places, right? And you look at the view and you go, oh, look, you can see that town. It looks small. The people look small. Wow, you can see really far. Oh, look, over there, there's our house. And then what do? Views is dull, guys. And I've been up high. I have been very, very high in my life, Katya.
Yes.
And I've been up high places. And views is dull.
Do you know what? Turns out I've been to more places than you have, actually.
What do you mean you've been to more? By the way, Katya has not phoned me for 7 years. This is the second time in a week she's called me. That's called stalking. How do you know you've been to more places than I have? Right, let's go through. You list a place, then I'll list a place, and we'll see who's been to the most. Go.
Well, first of all, America. I have been to Birmingham. I don't think that you have. And
I'm in Birmingham now, plum.
Yes, it says you are serving Birmingham.
Totally serving Birmingham.
Well,
later on after the show in McDonald's.
Okay. You were a little bit sneery about the pencil museum.
Yeah. Well, hang on. Let's just before we go on to the pencil museum.
Yes.
Don't. You've just libelled me on air. I am in Birmingham now.
I don't believe you.
Why do you not believe me? I'm in Birmingham now. I'm in the mailbox. It was a bit tricky to get in, but not as tricky as Liz Saul was saying on the traffic. The mailbox is being done up. We're opposite Nando's. Why don't you believe?
Well, first of all, I'm a little bit phased out by the fact that you don't have a Birmingham accent, and
you don't have you're in Grantham. You don't have a Grantham accent. You have a foreign accent.
Right. Okay, that's not a good point. I admit it.
Thank you.
Anyway,
you're Belgium.
Guess where?
Right? You're Belgium.
Oh, you're always interrupting me.
Yes, because you're always talking rubbish.
Oh.
You're Belgium, right? And the only attraction in Belgium's. Is the boy having a wee wee? And he's rubbish, isn't he? He's hidden around in a little dark alleyway. He's hidden around a corner. The locals don't know where he is. And you walk past it and then you go, oh, blimey, I think that was the boy doing a wee wee.
We are meandering again. Let me make my point. My point is, in Birmingham, you've got the Penn Museum.
Oh?
I've been there. I stayed there for 3 hours.
What?
I really did. You have to go. It's fantastic.
The Penn Museum.
Yes.
Oh, there is Birmingham Penn Museum.
Well, there you go.
If you want to find out more about Birmingham Penn Museum, penroom.co.uk.
Yes.
And it's a room, is it?
No, it's not a room. It's huge. It's huge. And the people there, oh, they are so nice. And I did the closure of the museum, and I'm a friend of them, kind of.
What do you mean a friend of? Do you give them money?
No. they had me have a go on the Victorian machines on how to make pens and all that.
Oh, flipping it. Really?
Yes, really.
What was so bad in your life that you thought, do you know what, I'm going to go to the pen museum?
Okay. Well, you know, it's good to know how things are done.
I can't argue with that. It is good to know how things are done.
Hmm.
OK, well, thanks for that, Katia. Do you know what? It's in the jewellery quarter. Joe, do you fancy going to the Pen Museum one afternoon? Yeah, OK, we'll go one day, Katia. Thank you.
OK, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tony's on the line. Afternoon, Tony.
Hello.
Oh, Tony, I've got to do some business. Hang on.
Your world is full of the things that are most important to you.
Pauline Worrell lives right there on Aldersmead Road.
Just came flying through the air, and it was like a missile, and just hit my house.
From what's happening in the next street to what's happening in the next town.
A memorial service is being held at Birmingham Cathedral.
It was a terrible, terrible tragedy. We cannot forget those two boys, ever.
You don't want to just know about it. You want to really understand it.
But they haven't committed any crimes. They haven't been charged. Is it right that they are named?
We're satisfied that he's made the right decision.
Your local news matters on BBC Local Radio, TV and online.
Blimey, this Joe, doesn't this afternoon show fly by? Does for us, may not do for the listeners, but we're nearly done now. Frank's is on in about, 8 or 9 minutes. Let's go to Tony. Good afternoon, Tony.
All right.
Have you been to the Pen Museum in our very own Birmingham, where I am right now? I'm actually in Birmingham now.
No, I haven't been to that one.
Oh, I'm going to go. My tongue is slightly in my cheek. I do like these kind of very small niche museums.
This was a small one. It was just one shed.
Blimey. What have you called in about, Tony? Losing the will to death.
Lawnmower.
Yes, lawnmower.
Museum.
Lawnmower Museum.
The Midland Railway Centre at Ripley.
Oh, right. Is that local as well?
It's up the A38.
Oh, blimey. Have you been?
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh.
It's all connected in with the railway, though.
British Lawnmower Museum.
And there's the JCB as well.
This one's in Merseyside, mate.
Oh, this one's in Derbyshire.
There's more than one lawnmower museum! So, here's a silly question. What do they have there, Tone?
Oh, sit-ons, push ones, electric ones.
Why did you go, Tony?
I only went for the railway.
Okay. And
the railway centre.
Yeah. And was it an afternoon well spent?
No.
Thanks very much. He sounds like the kind of guy that would love one of Britain's many lawnmower museums, doesn't he? Flippin' heck, what a strange show.
You get a shiver in the dark, it's raining in the park, but meantime. Sound of the river, you're stopping your whole everything. Band is blowing Dixie, double fall time. You feel alright when you hear the music ring. Well, now you step inside, but you don't see too many faces. Coming in out of the rain, they hear the jazz. In other places, but the horns they blow in that sound way on down south. Guitar George, he knows all the chords. Mighty strictly rhythm, he doesn't want to make it cry or sing. His dad and old guitar is all he can't afford. When he gets up under the lights, play his thing. Come on.
with the Sultans, with the Sultans.
Is kind of we're coming to an end, guys, and I was going to apologize, probably absolutely no need to apologize whatsoever. A professional comes in 4 o'clock and takes over. Hang on, it's certainly not me because I've got you on the wrong thing. Hang on, stay there. There we go.
Hello, Ian.
Yeah, I do apologise.
That's all right.
Yes, no, the thing is...
Hold on, a lawnmower museum?
Yes, sir. Near here. You coming? What time do you finish? We can probably...
I've got a lot of work to do late.
No, listen. Well, you're a big...
It'll be closed before I leave.
No, it won't.
Local
celebrity.
No, it will, trust me.
You'll be like Michael Jackson going to Harrods. They will hear that you're coming, you're bringing a friend, me. They will keep that bad boy open all night.
That is an image, isn't it?
And then the Penn Museum, you fancy that?
The Penn Museum?
Yes.
Where's the Penn Museum?
That's in the Jewellery Quarter.
Don't tell me Penn in Wolverhampton.
Hey, it could be. I love stuff like that. I love the fact that people are passionate enough about, I don't know, pens and lawnmowers to collect them in one place and let people come and look at them.
You should ask people about the weirdest museums there are in the country, because if there's a lawnmower museum and a pen museum, there's got to be a lot of other museums.
That's tomorrow's show. If I go to like small little towns or villages, small towns, big villages, they'll have like a local museum of local history, but generally they don't have a lot in there. So they'll have like maybe half a dozen fossils that someone's collected, a little anyway, listen, I've only got a minute, and you're bigging up your show. What's coming up at 4 o'clock, boss?
We'll be rounding up all the big stories. David Cameron's big speech today, getting tough on EU migrants. But, of course, can he introduce these measures? Nothing will be introduced until after the next election, so the Conservatives would have to win that for these new laws and rules to come in. And the EU might veto it anyway. Roy Keane quitting as Villa's assistant manager, just on the eve of the biggest game they've got this season. Black Friday, you'll be talking about Black Friday as well. We've got a reporter who's... He's put his life on the line. Wowzers. He's inside a major store somewhere in this country.
It's like a war zone.
Don't give away the location.
It could get
nasty. No, we're not going to do that. Birmingham band Goodnight Lenin. We've got a big gig in Birmingham tomorrow. We'll get a word with them.
Lovely.
Because they've got their first album out this week. The initial challenge tonight. We'll round up all the big stories. And the football phone in after six. Richard Snakers will join me, Baggies legend, to look forward to the weekend's football.
Paul, excellent stuff. Thank you very much indeed. Have a nice show. See you next week.
He's off to that lawnmower museum.
I'm off now. I'm being... here we go, ladies and gentlemen. What a way to end the show. Somewhere near Redditch, there is the National Needle Museum. I kid you not, it's a museum of needles. I've never been there, though. I don't see the point. Martin! Let's get the travel news. Here's Liz.
Ian, thank you. The M42 going north. There's a couple of problems. Two lanes shut because of an accident between 4 and 5 on the northbound carriageway. The A34 to the Solihull exit. The congestion back to Junction 3 at Portway and Redditch. Further up, 6 to 7, there's a lane still blocked as a vehicle has broken down. So a lot of congestion all the way back to the other problem. So the M42 is queuing and delayed pretty much all the way from 3 to 7. That's from the back past the M40 through to the M6. The A34 around Great Whirley is still partially blocked because of an accident near Love Lane. If you can update us, 08453 00228.
Waking up the West Midlands with the latest news, sport, weather...